many here believe that Jesus is risen?
Amen.
How many here have trusted him as their personal Savior?
Amen.
So we can rise again. Did you know that we're all fools? That's what the Bible says. Did you know we're foolish? But it says, but we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men,
Amen.
And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now that we, my speaker went down, there we go. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. But and then in verse 30, but of him who are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Amen.
So, and but there's other verses that say that you preach foolishness, right?
Amen.
Amen. But we're not, when the end times come, we're not fools. You know, and some people fear death. I told Alice, dying wasn't painful. It was those paddles that brought me back to life. Dying, if you're trusting the Lord, you don't have anything to worry about. So anyway, I would like to sing this song. Is called "He Is Alive," and it's kind of like from the words of Peter. Peter watched his Savior, his Master, crucified, died, and now he's fearing for his own life. He's already denied Christ. And the rooster's already crowed. And now the next day, he's fearful for his life. So this is the first Easter Sunday. A little higher. Gates and doors are barred, and all the windows fastened down. Spent the night in sleeplessness, and I rose at every sound. Half in the fear of darkness, and half in the fear of day. Finding the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Early the next morning, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. Hurried to the window, looked out into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary. I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I watched him die. Back inside house again, my guilt and anguish came, 'cause everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew him. strange perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from them like sunlight from the skies. My guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief, and every fear I ever had just melted in sweet peace. He has risen. He has risen indeed, you're supposed to say, right? Let's try it again. He has risen.
In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I want to share some scriptures with you here. Because today is Easter Sunday, and this is the day that we talk about resurrection. Now, resurrection, well, that's what Easter's all about, isn't it? The resurrection of Christ from the dead, we celebrate. But, as we said in Sunday school this morning, because he lives, we shall live also. And just think, all of our loved ones who've been laid to rest, we'll have a reunion one of these days, because they too shall be resurrected from the dead. Let's begin reading in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not raised? And if Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain. Your faith is also vain, and yea, and we're all found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. And they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, By man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I know that today there are descendants of the ancient Sadducees that the Bible says they say there's no resurrection, nor angels, nor spirits. But there are still those among us who believe that there will come a day when the trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. That's resurrection. And this future bodily resurrection of the saints is based wholly and solely on the literal bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. The Bible tells us that Jesus showed himself alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days after his resurrection and before his ascension. I've been there to Jerusalem. I've been to the garden, to the place where he was crucified. I've been to and inside the tomb where his body lay for 3 days and three nights. And it is still empty. Now, that's the place where they laid the body of Jesus after he was crucified. You'll remember the Bible tells us that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came and they took the body of Jesus down from the cross. They wrapped it in burial clothes with spices and they laid it in Joseph's new tomb where no one had ever been buried before. On the third day, an angel came and rolled the stone away from the door of the sepulchre and sat upon it and told the people, "He is not here, he is risen," as he said. Now, Paul puts forth the argument here in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Christ is not risen from the dead, that means that he is still dead, doesn't it? If he's not raised, he's still dead. Now, when Mary Magdalene, we studied this in Sunday school, early that morning when she went to the garden tomb, there was an earthquake. The angel of the Lord came and rolled away the stone from the door. And Mary Magdalene saw that empty tomb. She saw that the body of Jesus was not there. She thought that someone had come and stolen his body away, but how could they have done that when there were four Roman soldiers standing guard outside that tomb? But she told the disciples, "They've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him." Even when she turned and saw Jesus himself, she thought he was the gardener. And she said, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away." She didn't believe in the resurrection, even when she saw the empty tomb. That Sunday evening, when he appeared to his disciples in that upper room, they saw him and they recognized him. But Thomas was not there. And later on, when they told Thomas that they had seen the Lord, Thomas didn't believe them. If Christ is still dead, there's no blood on the mercy seat to make atonement for our sins. That means we are yet in our sins. We've never been forgiven, not a single one of them. If Christ is still dead, then the greatest hoax of all time has been perpetrated upon the sons of men. If Christ is still dead, your Bible has become the greatest book of fiction in all the history of mankind. If Christ is still dead, the disciples lived and preached and died in vain. And all of the Christian martyrs who died for their faith down through the ages have died in vain. If Christ is still dead, then our preaching is nothing but a figment of our imagination. If Christ is still dead, there is no heaven, there is no hell, there is no hereafter, and there is no hope. And even if there were a heaven, we wouldn't know how to get there because Jesus is the way. Amen. He's the door. Amen. No man can enter in except by Him. Now Jesus, during His earthly ministry, performed many mighty miracles. And in those miracles, He demonstrated the awesome power of Almighty God. As Nicodemus said to Him when He came at that night, he said, "No man can do those miracles that you do except God be with him." You'll remember He started His miracle working ministry by turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. You'll remember that He stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee and walked upon its waters. You'll remember how He took a little boy's lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes and blessed and break them and fed 5,000 men besides the women and children at one time and had 12 baskets full left over. You'll remember how He cast out devils and cleansed lepers, and how He gave sight to people who were blind, and caused the crippled, the lame to walk again. He caused the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. He performed many mighty miracles. He healed the sick and raised the dead, even Lazarus, who had been dead and buried for 4 days. He had power. But the greatest display of the power of Jesus Christ was demonstrated when He rose from the dead the 3rd day. Think of that. A dead man raised himself from the dead while he was dead. Now, if you don't have faith, you can't possibly believe that. Without faith, that's the most preposterous story that you've ever heard in all of your life. But His disciples saw Him. The women from Galilee saw Him. Over 500 saw Him at one time during those 40 days before His ascension. Thomas saw Him, and he fell at His feet and said, "My Lord and my God." Now the power of that resurrection has changed the lives of countless millions of believers down through the ages. It has sobered the drunkard. It has reconciled families. It has restored homes. It has released the drug addict from his addiction. It has brought strength to the weak and grace to the dying. It's given help to the helpless and hope to the hopeless. And for almost 2,000 years now, it has been and still is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. How can anyone say there is no resurrection when every spring the trees put forth their buds and all the flowers begin to bloom? It's built into nature. To say there's no resurrection of the dead is to confess to spiritual ignorance. Resurrection is imprinted on every page of your Bible. Jesus says, "Because I live, ye shall live also." If death is the end, then there is no hereafter. The human race is left without hope of any kind. Believers are encouraged and empowered by this wonderful promise of resurrection. Listen to the faith of Job, if you will. He said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another." Fear of death is gone, and hope of eternal life revives. I think it's wonderful. I talk to Wayne, see him every week. And every chance that he gets, when he can get off of his oxygen bottle, he goes out here to Glen Abbey. Whenever you pull into the place, Ruth's grave is right up there on the left. And Wayne will go over there to that grave. And he can say, "Ruth, I know that you're with Jesus. And at one of these days, I'll be joining you. Wait for me. I won't be long." And he can say that with faith and hope and assurance. That when we die and our weary bodies are laid to rest in a grave until the sound of the trumpet. And beloved, I'm glad that man cannot put us into something that God cannot get us out of. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, what? That God hath raised him from the dead. What? Thou shalt be saved. That's it. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. There's no works. There's no church membership. There's no baptism. There's nothing attached to it. You believe. And Jesus said, you'll be saved. One of the most exciting things about Christianity is the miracle of the new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." How can a man be born again? Nicodemus asked him. Then Jesus proceeded to tell him exactly how the new birth comes about. And it's amazing the change that takes place in a person's life when they become a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Look at your own experience. Think what you would be without Christ. Go back to the time of your conversion. And let's say that if you could turn back the pages of time and you would say no to God instead of yes, what would your life be like today? Where would you be if you had no hope and no salvation? You know, it's hard to understand how that an old, ugly, raw-boned sinner can simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for his sins, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead the third day, and be instantaneously transformed from a sinner into a saint. That's a miracle that only God can do. Simply by believing that God raised Jesus from the dead, he changes families. He's changed from a child of the devil to a child of the King. Just by trusting Jesus, his citizenship is changed. He's moved from a state of condemnation in Satan's kingdom of darkness to full justification from all things in God's glorious kingdom of light. Change takes place. Peter tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again." That's the new birth. "Unto a lively hope." How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From the dead. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Isn't that wonderful? Boy. See, by accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the eternal destiny of our immortal soul is changed from hell to heaven. When we believe in Jesus, all of our sins are forgiven, blotted out, washed away, and we can stand boldly in the presence of God, clothed in the imputed righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ that he puts on us to cover all of our sins. When we receive Christ, we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking religion to you. I'm talking Christianity. But I will say this, of all the religions in the world, Christianity is the only one that has a living Savior. Now, you may not believe what I'm saying. It may sound like a bunch of malarkey to you, but that's all right. Jesus died for your sins, whether you believe he did or not, and your not believing does not make it any less true. He wants to be your Savior whether you want him to be or not. That's strictly up to you. Now, if you don't come to Christ, I can understand. Because no one can come to Jesus Christ except God's Holy Spirit draw him. And if you try to come to Jesus Christ without the drawing of the Holy Spirit, you're wasting your time. Don't be a hypocrite. You'd be a hypocrite if you did. Christianity is different from Islam religion, because no one's going to force you to become a Christian. No one's going to compel you to believe in Jesus Christ. It's strictly a matter of your own personal choice. The Holy Spirit will lead you, but you can say to the Holy Spirit, "Get away from me. I don't want to be saved. Don't remind me of my sins." He'll lead you, but you have to choose to follow him. If you insist on going to hell, no one is going to stop you, not even God. If you've made up your mind that when you die you're going to hell, then that's exactly where you're going to wind up. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's your right. None of us are going to throw rocks at you until you die if you don't believe. If you insist, that's where you're going to wind up. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and was buried and rose again from the dead the third day, that's your right not to believe. We're not going to force you to. You'll join the ranks of billions of others who don't believe that either. No one's going to force you. You will never be forced into salvation. It's your own decision. And you are the only one that's going to be responsible for it. You can't blame anyone else. I know that not everyone will be saved. Jesus died for the sins of the world, and he paid the sin debt of the world, and God wants everybody to be saved, and everybody can be saved if they will only believe. God wants the gospel preached to everyone. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Give everyone an opportunity to be saved. You give the invitation to come. Now that's God's way of sorting out the believers from the unbelievers. That's the way he sorts out the rejectors from the acceptors, through the preaching of the gospel. Two people sitting side by side, two sinners, they both hear the same message, the same gospel message is presented to them, the same opportunity is given them. One says no, the other one says yes. The one that says yes is the one who's saved. The one who says no is the one who goes to hell, because he has made a choice. He chooses that. He chooses hell instead of heaven. Now, those who receive Christ and accept him are the ones that are saved. The ones that reject him are the ones who are lost. And I just want to make it plain to you today that if you want to be saved, you can be saved. You can. God wants you to be saved. The devil doesn't want you to be saved. It's that simple. But please understand, that when and if you do ever get saved, it's going to be on God's terms, and it's going to be through the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for your sins on the cross of Calvary. He's the only one. And if you ever get to heaven, it's going to be because God loves you. He died for your sins. He was buried. And he rose from the dead the third day. And if we believe that Jesus died for our sins and was buried and rose from the dead the third day, thou shalt be saved. And salvation is what it's all about. This life, forget it. It's a few days and full of trouble. First thing you know, death will come knocking on your door. And if you're not saved, it's going to be too late. You don't know when it's going to come. Not all people live and die of old age. One of the parts about the local paper that I like to read are the obituaries. I'm a strange person. Every once in a while, I run across somebody in there who I recognize their name, and I'll read the account of their lives. They're gone. I'll tell you, the number of names that I see are getting fewer and fewer. I think most of them are already gone, the ones I know. But listen, there's coming a time when your name and my name will appear in that obituary column. And it's not always old folks that die. But after death, what then? God has made provision for us to be saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it's all about. Not about church, not about religion, but it's about a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege to talk about Jesus and to talk about his great love that he had for us, that love that brought him to Calvary, that love that caused him to shed his blood for the remission of our sins. We thank you, Father, that today the door of salvation is open. It's open wide. And whosoever will, Jesus invites, let him come and take of the water of life freely. If there's one today in this congregation that does not know you as their personal Savior, help them to put aside everything that would hinder them from believing in Christ. And let them come today and make a public profession of faith in Him. If there are those today that need a church home, and they're looking for a place where the Bible is preached and taught, where people believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus is the Son of God, Heavenly Father, lead them. Let your Spirit so direct them that they will be obedient to your leading. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
281.
Number 281 in the hymnal. 281.
Go!
sing another verse. Let me remind you today, we have a lot of visitors in our congregation, and we are happy and pleased to have each and every one of you in our service today. You may not live in this neighborhood. You may be visiting from out of town or wherever it is. But let me urge you today, if you as an individual have never made a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, whether we ever see you again or not on this planet Earth, if you'll accept Jesus, we'll meet you up there.
Amen.
That's all you need to do, is to accept Him. He's the one that loves you. He's the one that died for your sins. He's the one that rose again from the dead. And He's the one that invites you to come to Him. He says, He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you come to Him? Let's sing another verse, please. Then we'll be dismissed.
There'll be no
services tonight. Come back and be with us at 6 o'clock if it's possible tonight. Alright? As we're dismissed in prayer, we're happy to have Brother Bryant and his wife with us today in our services. Brother Bryant, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?
What a day it's been. A glorious day. Let's offer prayer. Our lovely Lord, we thank you to hear this great message again, that Jesus died, that He was buried, and that He arose again for the justification of the likes of us. Oh, we praise you today, dear God, and as we leave this place, we give you glory and honor and praise. Remember that we'll meet you one day there in the sky when you call us into thy presence. What a day that's going to be. Bless us now as we leave this place. Thank you for pastoring the message today. And we do pray, Lord, if there is anyone here that has not received Christ as their Savior and Lord, that they'll trust Him. Even now, before you leave this building, ask Christ to come into your heart and save you. Lord, touch them in a special way. Dismiss us now with thy blessings. We pray and ask it in Jesus' wonderful name.